Heavenly Father, help us to know you through your word, through your presence in our lives, and through whatever goes before us and happens around us. Amen.
Amen.
So, before I begin, I have to say this. Last week, God knows what I'm going to say. Last week, we said a little prayer at the time of the general thank, Eucharistic prayer, that we may increase in numbers. And I am pleased to report that there are more than 10 people this week. So, prayers worked. Okay. So, going back to our theme of drawing parallels between Old and New Testament, I found some which were obvious and some which were not that obvious, perhaps. The first one, which was perhaps not too obvious, is the amount of grief and dismay that is present in both the readings today. In one, it's very obviously said, my joy is gone, grief is upon me, I mourn and dismay has taken hold of me, and so on and so forth. That's Jeremiah. But in the Gospel of John, there is a sense of sadness. And that sense of sadness is that these people just do not know me. And that's the second parallel that I want to draw, which is perhaps obvious in both the readings, which is, in Jeremiah, it says, they refuse to know me, says the Lord. Right? Whereas in the Gospel of John, it says, if you knew me, you would know my Father also. So there is that sense of not knowing God present in both. And then, again, perhaps not so obvious one, is the idea of judgment. In the Gospel of John, he uses the word judge and judgment quite a bit. You judge by human standards, I judge no one. Yet, even if I do judge, my judgment is valid. And so on and so forth. And if you look at Jeremiah, there is a very, very clear judgment on the people that they are choosing not to follow God, or in his words, to know God. But the last thing that I thought, which is perhaps not that obvious, because it requires a little bit of historical context, is the idea of what happens in the temple. And that's a little bit kind of not present immediately in the text, but it's there. In the Gospel of John, it's specifically mentioned that he was teaching in the treasury of the temple. So that's my clue to talk about the temple. The history of Jeremiah is that his ancestors were, and he too, was from a priestly line. So he was one of the two lines of priesthood associated with the temple. Actually, associated with David's monarchy. And when Solomon came to power, one of the priests, it so happens, Jeremiah's granddaddy, did not want Solomon to be the king. So, guess what happened to Jeremiah's grandfather or great-grandfather? A little less drastic than that. Well, he was no longer allowed to be a priest in the temple. So, some scholars therefore argue that is why Jeremiah has such a strong perspective on temple worship. He just cannot stand it, right? He has everything negative to say about temple worship. Now that's kind of making an argument based on simple human behavior, that if somebody did bad, you know, I'm reminded of that joke that used to go around right after the second Iraq war, that he was not nice to my daddy, so, you know. So that perspective is purely based on that human nature kind of interpretation. But I would like to offer also that it had a lot to do with Jeremiah's understanding of foreign policy. He understood that the people who were trying to, under the King Josiah's reform, who were trying to put everything together and kind of bring everything under the temple, as it were, and centralize everything, were also people who, in his view, did not have a better understanding of the foreign policy and who was more dominant and who should they rebel. Because under King Josiah, they were actually a vassal state of Assyria. And Assyria was crumbling down because of its own weight. And so vassal states were now asserting their own power and trying to gain independence. So one has to understand that King Josiah's reform was kind of propelled by that as well, that desire to reclaim their own independence. But as all of this was happening, Jeremiah took a different stance than those in the king's courts and involved in that reform. That is why I pointed out last week that even when Jeremiah and Josiah in content had a similar agenda, there were a few things that they could not agree on. And those few things were what the role of the temple and their foreign policy. So there's two things. And what I wanted to do, you know, I tried to bring the old and the new to contemporary times. These days we are having lots of debate on foreign policy. 9 days into, or 10 days, whatever it is, into the third war, and we are, you know, wondering where we are. And just in a very short period of time, there has emerged lots of perspectives and choices and arguments for, and, you know, and I read it as a lot of confusion on in each camp, trying to figure out what's best. So my question is, bringing all, and my last point, I feel also that there is, and I experience it much more when I leave St. Paul's and go to other church meetings, that there is a lot of sadness that these days Christians carry, especially mainline Protestant Christians. There's a lot of sadness we carry. And, you know, you go to these church-related gatherings, inevitably people talk about the decline. Oh, we're declining. Oh, we have to close these churches. Oh, you know, these statistics and those statistics, and, you know, what are we going to do about these resources and that resources? I complain to my wife a lot. It used to happen to me a lot more in Connecticut than it does in Ohio, thanks be to God. But I would go home and say to my wife, why is there such a negative, you know, burden on church people? Why is everybody so negative and so living in so much despair and hopelessness that we are just going down? Why? And so I want to tie all of this together, that as a church, as a people, as Christian people, of the mainline Protestant churches, I think there are some who have a lot of joy, but you know, we are kind of burdened with this sadness and sorrow. And so how do we place ourselves in the text that we have read today? How do we place ourselves as people who are in sorrow? Questions would be, do we know God? Are we somehow in this sadness because we are refusing to do so? How do we understand, our role in our nation discerning its foreign policy? Because that had a huge impact on what Jeremiah was doing, right? How do we place ourselves there? How do we think about the idea of judgment? I know we would love to say that Jesus says, "I judge no one," and then immediately he says, "Yet even if I do judge," and I love that. I don't judge anybody, but if I did, right? So how do we place ourselves in the context of these readings? How do we understand judgment? How do we understand our own sadness? How do we understand our own knowing or not knowing God? And last, but you know, related to it, how do we understand the role of the temple or the church in all of this? Amen.